Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Going to finish up some things from last week. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." And so I mentioned that the word good is used 9 times in Genesis 1 and then going into Genesis 2. So God's trying to get something over to us, that the world that he created and what he created for his man and how he intended for him to live was good. And I shared this, again, in the Hebrew, like the Greek, the words have a lot of meaning to them. And so this word good is pleasant, agreeable, excellent, rich, valuable, happy, kind, bountiful. And it could go on. There's like 25 different words you could use for this word good to try to describe what God created for his man. And so God wanted good things. He wanted a good relationship with his creation. He wanted his man to flourish and to thrive. And I've just been thinking about this all week. He wanted to shower his creation with good things, good gifts. Wanted to shower them with gifts. Anybody here like getting gifts? Anybody that doesn't like getting gifts? But I mean, you know, let's just say you walked in here today and someone, you know, handed you a card and there's a couple $100 bills in there, or maybe a gift card to your favorite place, your favorite restaurant. I know, like, anything with chicken, any kind of gift of chicken for Pastor Nate.
Greeks.
How would that make you feel? You'd be giddy, full of joy, happy. Yeah, well, we need to get him a card every day. A chicken card. I want chicken. But it's you feel good. You have joy. And he used the word giddy. I mean, it's just when someone goes out of their way to bless you, especially when it's not expected, it just makes you feel good. You feel favored. And that's the environment in the garden before the fall. And you know, God was there. God wanted to have this relationship. And God, it's just his nature to bless and to give gifts and to do good things for people. It's just, it's on his mind. It's who he is. He is love. He's unconditional love. And that's just what he does. And so when man would believe this and receive these gifts, life was good. But then we enter the devil. This is part of the story we hate. You enter the devil. He brings his lies, his deception, his temptations. And Adam and Eve believe the lies. And then let's look at the result. Genesis 3, verse 7. It says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day." So instead of running to him and embracing him, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And so he said, "I heard your voice in the garden," heard his voice, "and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." So now they are afraid. Instead of just basking in goodness and God's good gifts, they're suddenly afraid and they hide themselves from God and try to improve themselves. Now they take fig leaves and make a covering and, you know, trying to make themselves better, make them more acceptable. They weren't good enough anymore like they were. They had to change. And how they felt about themselves and how they felt about God. And now suddenly they're afraid of this benevolent, gracious, giving God. And so they're doing things to earn his approval. And so basically, they don't feel worthy. They don't feel good enough. Can anybody relate to that? You ever not felt good enough? I think we all deal with that. I don't care how secure you are or how loved you feel. I think we all still deal with that. Because there's an enemy that's still doing the same things that he did back in the garden to tempt us, to bring lies, to cause people to say things to us, to tear us down, to make us feel unworthy or condemned. And so this fear of punishment, this fear of not being accepted, it brought a separation. You notice that they hid from God. So there's this separation, a separation from fellowship with God. And that's really what he wanted. I mean, in a family, I think all of us want fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship is sharing yourself. You feel comfortable enough to share yourself, knowing they're not going to shoot you down, knowing they're not going to tear you down. Even though you have flaws, they love you. And in the garden, God is the first father. The Bible says, you know, that all earthly fatherhood is based on his fatherhood. And that's his desire, is to have fellowship. That's what he wanted in the garden. And the enemy, through his lies, separated us. And so when man sinned, he did more than disobey God. He acquired a new capability. The ability to determine good and evil for himself. And along with this ability came self-imposed standards. And this is where fear, condemnation, and insecurity come from. He stopped trusting in God's standards, and he began to develop his own. Got his eyes off the source and made himself the source. And when you do that, you immediately, you're going to get into weakness. You're going to get into failure. You're going to get into lack. So the problem of not being good enough separated man and God, and has plagued man since the garden. And man no longer had right standing with God. And that's a word that, you know, we hear a lot about in the New Testament. The word that's used in the New Testament from Paul is the word righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. Righteousness. What righteousness is, I've got a right standing with God, not based on me, but based on him. And I can go into his presence without fear of punishment, fear of condemnation, fear of rebuke. He loves me. He's for me. And you know, Hebrews talks about going to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace. I mean, that's the kind of relationship we can go to. Whether we've sinned or not sinned, whether we're feeling good or not feeling good, just as we are, you know, however we are, we can come to him and have a loving, good relationship. And so this right standing with God ended in the garden. And that's where things changed. And so let's jump a lot of thousands of years now, depending on, you know, if you want to be, some people say 4,000 years, whatever, how many years. But jumping thousands of years, let's jump to when Jesus came. And this standard of making yourself better or making yourself acceptable to God, that carried through all throughout the Old Testament. It came with the law. It started with the Ten Commandments. But by the time Jesus came, and I say this, but I know it's actually more. I mean, I hear heard different numbers. They added 666. That's what I say. That's a good Bible number, right? 666. Over 600 rules and regulations for man to follow. How crazy is that? And then it says that Paul was perfect in keeping the law, meaning he kept all whatever 600. I mean, what willpower? And they had a lot of different things that they were required to do. But it's interesting, the one that kept it, Jesus was perfect. Paul was perfect in keeping the law. But look at the difference. Paul is having Christians murdered. So all this adding rules and regulations doesn't make you holier. It really draws you away from God. Paul was so deceived, you know, and here he's keeping all, he's doing so good, right? Keeping all these rules, all these regulations, checking them off all the boxes. He's got all the boxes checked. But he is far from God, so much that he's having believers murdered. And to have people stoned, I've just seen it maybe in the movies or something like that. But that is brutal. Pick up rocks. I'm a good shot with throwing. Man, I could get me a big rock and knock somebody in the head. I mean, I've wanted to do that, but no. But, I mean, that's brutal. And Paul is a part of this and thinks this is right and thinks this is love and thinks this is how God is. It's gotten really twisted by the time Jesus, I mean, it was twisted from the garden, but it really gets twisted because that's just what man does now to make themselves better. I mean, keep on adding because I feel unworthy, so I got to keep on adding things to make me acceptable. And so it's performance based. So the intention of the law is to show you how sinful you are, but the intention of the law is not to set you free from the sin. So it's really a curse in a sense. So the religious system was set up to make us acceptable to God, to hold off his wrath, but the law did not produce change and transformation. And I think anybody that reads about Jesus' ministry, that's the thing that I love. I mean, as a pastor and being involved in church and being involved in people's lives, I love to see people change for the better. And not because someone made them change, because they willingly, you know, they received God's grace, God's goodness, God's mercy. I love that. I love transformation. I love someone encountering Christ, coming one way and leaving better another way. I mean, that's what I live for. But Jesus changed everything, and we talk about that, but it really is the truth. He changed everything. Jesus is a big deal. And we need to keep him more on our minds. We need a greater revelation. I think we have some, but we need even a greater revelation of how much Jesus changed the world. Now let's look at this in 2 Corinthians 5. I'm just jumping right from creation to 2 Corinthians 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, the verses 17 through 21 are some of our favorite verses here because it goes with our mission of empowerment, empowering people to give life. And there's so much rich stuff in there. But let's just jump all the way down to the end of the 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. You need to get a revelation of this verse here. There's so much happening here. For our sake, he made, talking about God, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable in right relationship with him by his goodness. So what does that mean? It means Jesus, who was sinless, took on the sin of humanity, took our sin. We deserved death. We deserved eternal separation from God. We deserved sickness. We deserved poverty. I mean, all of the curse. We deserved it. And that's what we should have gotten because of our sin. Jesus took that sin, took our punishment, and then, it's the great exchange, then he gave us his right standing. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased, in whom whom I esteem, whom I favor, took that righteousness and gave it to us. And so, just like he became sin, when we were saved or born again, believe the gospel, the good news, when we believe that, we became the righteousness of God in Christ. And what kind of right standing did Jesus have with the Father? So amazing righteousness before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he talked about, "Lord, you always hear my prayer." This is the guy that's walking through the crowds that are trying to kill him and push him off the cliff. We've become, and so what does that mean? What does that? That means that what Adam had in the garden, and really we have a better covenant. It's actually better. I don't know if I'll get into all that today. But what Adam had before the fall, that position with God, we now have in Christ. It means fellowship. It means we can talk to him. We can call him Father. We're sons and daughters. We have rights and privileges. We have authority. And we no longer are using all the rules to try to get to God. You know, I always see that little the hamster. We used to have a hamster with one of those wheels, and they're just kind of really, really working and working and working and working, and the wheel's spinning and spinning and spinning, and they're going nowhere. That's what it is when you're copping the rules. You're working, 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 and you're really not going anywhere. You're going backwards. Because you're trying to get what you already have. And if I just do one more thing, then I'll be approved, then I'll be accepted, then he'll love me. But how good is good enough? How much goodness... I mean, how many good deeds do you have to do to be acceptable? You can't. So it's a trap. And the enemy, he either wants you lost or he wants you on the treadmill. Because both are lost. I think he'd prefer you really to be on the treadmill, because then you're going to be a person of condemnation. And he can use you to bring condemnation to others. I think he likes that. But the scripture talks about us being given a divine nature. And so, I'm not who I am because of what I do. I am what I am because of what he made me to be. You see the difference? You know, we talk about generosity, and we know that God is generous. I don't have to work up to be generous. I can just walk in generosity because that's who I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you see the difference? And so we've got to tap into that of who we already are and just be that. And I don't have to think about all the rules, all the rule keeping, and have all the checklists of things I need to do. I just need to be who he made me to be and tap into that, what's in there, that righteousness that I am, that Jesus made me to be. Generosity will flow. Love will flow. Peace will flow. Grace will flow. Favor will flow. And that's the kind of life he wants us to live. Y'all getting this today? This is the gospel. The gospel is good news, and we got to get back to the gospel. We got to get our minds off us and back onto him. And then this world that we live in is so much focused on us. Social media, what's my opinion? What do I think? I could care less what you think. What does some celebrity think about immigration? Who gives a flip what they think? Let's make better laws or whatever. Let's handle it. But what you think, I don't, you know. I need to stay focused. My notes say, the gospel is good news. It's good news. And the enemy wants to get you over onto your performance because he knows he's got you there. And you get over into that and you're never good enough. Then you get into unworthiness. Then you're woe is me. Then condemnation. Then you draw back from God. And you get in that performance thing, it's going to cause you either to backslide and run from God, which a lot of people have done in the church, or try harder, which is the Pharisees. Neither one of those are good places to be. And they're not places that you want to be. But we talk about faith, and it really, and I don't want to simplify things, but Christianity is a lot about believing. What do you believe? What you believe determines what kind of life you live. It determines your relationships and how you are as a person. Let's look at Romans 1. And I want to read this in the Passion Translation. Romans 1, verse 16. And so when you learn about righteousness, and especially as you read Paul's writings, but you can see it all through the Bible. But especially Paul's writings, because Paul, because of who he was, he needed this revelation of righteousness. He had to have it in order to fulfill his calling. But look at what it says here. Romans 1, verse 16, Passion Translation. I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. For I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved, the Jew first, and then people everywhere. That's the Gentiles. The gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness. Look at this. A perfect righteousness given to us when we believe, otherwise known as faith. So it's not just vital to you when you're saved, it's vital to you all throughout your life as a believer. You got to continually believe and continually live by faith. Because this world system is going the other way. It's going to, if you just live in it, it's going to affect you. People around you are going to affect you. The devil certainly is. You know, John 10, he's working 24/7, stealing, killing, and destroying. He's working. So we got to keep on believing, keep on living by faith. It's not living by faith. Well, that's what we used to do. A perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. And it moves from receiving life through faith to the power of living by faith. And that is what the scripture means when it says we are right with God through life-giving faith. And so this is a big concept. And I think the New King James says faith to faith. It doesn't say faith to works. And I think that's how we kind of live. It takes faith to be saved. But then now that I'm saved, I've got to earn salvation, earn the benefits. Where does it say that? Give me the verses on that. That's religion. But we all deal with it, especially those that are in ministry. I mean, we deal with it all the time. Being good enough, being, you know, worthy. Are we doing enough? But really, what we need to do is we need to believe who we are, who He made us to be, and let that shine. Let that come out. Let that shine. Let that righteousness just shine forth. And this makes people... Remember in the prodigal son story? The older brother? This is the church, a lot of the church. When the son came back that was lost, the father kills the fatted calf and has a party, which heaven does when someone comes back or is saved. Heaven has a party. What's the older brother doing? He's mad. How does that make any sense that he is mad and upset because the father killed the fatted calf? Because he wanted him to be punished. I've been doing all the work. I've been good. I've done all these things. And now you're blessing him? How is that's not fair? And I think some of the older believers, they get upset when these younger believers who know nothing are being blessed by God. God, that's not fair. Well, see, they haven't gotten around you to corrupt things. You see, because in order to get that, you're going to have to do this. But they're just being. They're just happy to be here. I've got people that I know that are upset because that I, you know, the way I pray or the things I say about God or who God says I am, who He made me in Christ, what my authority is. They're upset about that. They don't like all that talk, but they certainly like it when my prayers are answered. The rest of that's, you know, you're being prideful and you don't deserve all that, but when I need you, I want you to be connected to God. But the older brother, I mean, isn't that? I mean, do we like someone that's, you know, the prodigal son type that goes and does all this and comes back and God blesses him? Do we like that? Is that the way we are? I probably shouldn't go there, should I? Anybody want me to go there? I don't know if I want to hear that myself. Because it's amazing when you grow in this righteousness. And again, it's a growing in it. You don't like just arrive one day. And you know you're growing in things, but as you do, it's like you start extending more grace to people. You start overlooking more faults. You start being more like the Father and where you'll bless where you should have cursed. It changes you. And the scriptures say this, freely you have received, freely you've given. How much have you been forgiven? How much mercy? It says his mercies are new every morning. How much mercy have you been given? How much grace? But then here we are. We're sitting here on our... here we are sitting on our high horse, looking down on people, condemning them. Those sinners, they know better. They deserve what they get. They deserve to be punished. Oh, my goodness. Have we forgotten? Have we forgotten where we, you know, where we've come from? You can't forget. And that's why we got to keep our eyes on the gospel and keep our eyes off ourselves. Once you start, and see, this is a trap too. I've been there. Once you start thinking you're something, you're a faith giant, and my faith earned this, and my giving got me that, and all that. I'm telling you, now you're getting over into what you're doing, where really it's all because of His grace. You've never done it all right. You've never performed it perfectly. But you get the attention on me. Me, 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 me. And when you get that way, then you start pointing. Look where I am, and look what you are, where you are. I'm blessed and highly favored, and you're cursed, and you deserve it. Do you kind of wish maybe you weren't here today? Or
We should be living in the gifts. It's easy to overlook a lot of things when you've been blessed. You've been given free gifts. You're giddy, you're happy, you're full of joy. And that's what righteousness is supposed to produce, is joy. And we should have more joy. That's who we are. And the enemy does not like you having joy, doesn't like you being cheerful, doesn't like you being happy. My son's got this song. I'm not going to have him sing it. Well, maybe you want to sing a little bit, a couple bars?
Come on. Sing.
Katarina, do you want to sing it? Enjoying My Righteousness? You don't want to sing any of that? Maybe.
I'm just enjoying my righteousness every day. I've got joy for more that you are to my faith. I'm enjoying my righteousness.
Everybody. He sings that. You're crazy. I'm enjoying my righteousness every day. Devil doesn't want you enjoying your righteousness every day. He wants you to be tormented. Enjoying my unrighteousness every day. I'm depressed with my unrighteousness every day. I'm tormented with my unrighteousness. I could just keep on singing, and you'd love it, wouldn't you? People are leaving. Walking in this righteousness takes going from faith to faith, not faith to works. I must look to the cross to find my righteousness. Look to the cross. Look to the gospel for my righteousness and my peace with God. The natural birth guarantees a sin nature. The new birth guarantees a righteous nature. The natural birth guarantees a sin nature. The new birth guarantees a righteous nature. Let's look at Romans. Man, where's the time is like slowing down here. And then, so you start seeing this, and I used to, Romans wasn't my favorite book, but I mean, it's getting up there. And I want to encourage you, I brought my Bible with me to show you that I actually have a hard copy Bible that I still use. I use this to preach with, but I still use this. I got my little tabs. And I've got some notes in there and some highlighting. But I'm telling you, you're missing out so much if you're not in this. This is words of life. This is words from heaven. This is words from the Master. This is your manual for living. This is where you learn about who you are in Christ, who you are, what you have, what you can do. This is a book of life. And I don't know what you've been reading or what you've been watching or what you've been hearing. But I'm telling you, I know what this will bring. So I want to encourage you today. Get this out again. Blow the dust off. You know, Romans is a good book to start reading. There's just so much good. You know, find yourself in there. That's what Jesus did. Found himself in the Word. Find yourself. Romans 9. But righteousness is all over Romans. Salvation and righteousness go hand in hand. Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, listen to this. That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, meaning they got it by faith, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. The Gentiles received it by faith and not by works. And the ones with the covenant with God through Abraham did not attain it because they were trying to earn it by performance. They stumbled at the stumbling stone. Jesus is a stumbling stone. And what he did at the cross, it causes the religious people to stumble because it's by grace and it's by faith. And they don't like that. They stumble. They, you know. I'm stumbling. Whoa, whoa. Jesus called him. Jesus, what was that? A drunken man going to the... But that's someone, that's the way the religious people look. They're stumbling around, trying to find themselves. I'll have my stumbling class after church today. Burn some calories. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as was written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." The Gentiles had no covenant, and they attained the righteousness by faith. Israel had a covenant, and they didn't attain that right standing. They're adding more rules and regulations. Rules, 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 rules. Let's look at Romans 5. Romans 5. So you're going to start seeing this everywhere. Romans 5, verse 1. Anybody get anything today? Glad you're here. Anybody like free gifts? Who's going to walk in some free gifts today? Who's going to be giddy? Tori, are you going to be giddy today? I'm going to have Nate demonstrate later on what giddy is. He's going to giddy up for us. I did the stumbling. You do the giddying. We'll be giddy back there for Miss Alberta. Cake makes me giddy. Romans 5. Therefore, since we are justified, do I have any justified people in the house? I don't know what it means, but it sounds good. Everybody say, I'm justified. Well, he's about to tell us what it is. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, now I'm going to jump. I need to get you guys up. You guys need to be burning some calories too. Walking around, feeling good today. Acquitted, declared righteous. Do I have anybody in the house that's been declared righteous? Point to your neighbor and tell them you've been declared righteous.
You've been declared righteous.
I'm just feeling giddy. Man, I'm feeling giddy right now. Somebody look up the definition of giddy for me. Put that up there on the screen. Declared righteous, feeling giddy, and giving a right standing with God. That's what justified is. Through faith, let us grasp that fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Maybe that's what giddy is, to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Through him, also we have our access, not separation, entrance, introduction by faith into this grace, state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. It's just a firm place. It's a safe place. It's a secure place. You got a trusted friend? I hope you do. But someone, when you're in trouble or whatever you're going through, you can talk to them and it's safe and secure. They're not going to blast you. They're not going to cuss you out. They're not going to harm you. It's just safe to be with them. I hope that's what your marriage is like and your family and your home is like. Safe and secure. entrance by faith into the grace state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. Let us rejoice and exalt in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Now let's just keep on. We'll keep on going. Let's go down to verse 15. We're getting there, guys. You're doing great. Romans 5, verse 15. But God's free gift. Who likes free gifts? We should be acting like that. We should be acting like we're being showered with free gifts. Even in our worst days, biggest trials. That's what we need to know. Those gifts are there. When you don't feel like it, or you don't feel like you deserve it, or feel like all those different things. But God's free gift is not at all compared to the trespass. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. For if many died through one man's falling away, his lapse, his offense, much more profusely did God's grace and the free gift that comes through the undeserved favor of the one man, Jesus Christ. Let's just take a moment and just give Jesus some praise. I'm grateful today. Hallelujah. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Thank God. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the good news. Thank God for what He's made us. Thank God for what we have. Much more proficient than God's grace and free gift that comes through the undeserved favor of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound and overflow to and for the benefit of many. Nor is the free gift at all to be compared to the effect of that one man's sin, talking about Adam, for the sentence following the trespass of one man brought condemnation, whereas the free gift, everybody say free gift, the free gift following many transgressions brings justification, an act of righteousness. For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely were those who received God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with Himself, I like this, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Well, Pastor, does that mean that we're not going to sin anymore? Because I have this new nature and I've been made righteous, am I going to sin anymore? Well, you'll still make mistakes. Yeah. You're still capable of anything you did before you were saved. If when I was had the sin nature, I still did good. Still did good, but my nature was sin. And when you have a righteous nature, you can still miss it. But your nature is to be righteous. That's who you are. Hopefully, you get better at it as you go along. And it is better because we have been set free from sin. We don't have to live in bondage. We don't have to live that way. So we're not going to be perfect. We won't be perfect until we're resurrected. Or we're in heaven. But we need to start. We need to start believing who He made us to be, and start being who we are. I have peace. I give peace. That love's been shed abroad in my heart. I give love. My nature is to be generous. I go about doing good. My nature is healing. My nature is to be a blessing. Wherever I go, that's who I am. I've been made righteous. I've been justified. And if I do miss it, I've got an advocate. I can go boldly to the throne. And see, this life, I said it last week, this life is about relationships. And first and foremost, our relationship with Him. And we can talk to Him. And He wants to talk to us. Not just through the words on the page. He wants to just be like in the garden, in the cool of the day. He wants to give you counsel. He knows about business. He knows about relationships. He knows about every area of our lives. But it's like we go to all these other places except to the one who has the answers. And I'm not saying God doesn't use other people or, you know, Google, you know. But the wisdom comes from Him. And He's got the answers. And those answers, most of the time, are in here. And so let's look to Him. The scripture says, awake to righteousness. We need to wake up. And I know many of you heard this today, but I think, you know, what is it, Galatians 5 says? I think it's maybe 3. You've fallen from grace. Fallen from grace. Isn't it interesting you go back to the fall? It's fallen from grace. Meaning you were walking in grace and you slipped. I just think people, it's just easy to happen for all of us, just to slip back into works, back into performance. And, you know, it doesn't mean then like, well, I'm on my job and then now suddenly I'm not performing anymore. No, I'm a better worker. I'm better. I'm better at home and I'm better in all the different areas. But the thing that I hope that happens too, and I think you can see this, is in how am I treating other people? What am I saying with one of the most powerful things that God has given me, my tongue? What am I saying about people? Am I judging people? Am I condemning people? We'll just end there. Let's stand, everybody. Let's just give God some praise and worship Him. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let us lay it down today, Father, the works. Let us lay down the performance. Let us lay down the selfishness. Me first. Let's just let go of that today. We're not going to judge others, and we're not going to let others judge us or affect us by their judgment. We can walk in who we are. Walk in this faith. Walk in this love. Walk in this life as believers. Walk in our righteousness, being who we are. Lord, we just thank you. The Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit's come to empower us to do these things. You can't do it on your own. He'll empower you. You need this grace. He'll empower you. Father, we want to be that church and church family of transformation. Father, we want change for the better. We want to move forward in Christ. And Lord, and also not just what happens here when we gather together, but when we leave here, may we be ministers of reconciliation. Not just reconciling people to God, but reconciling people to each other. Lord, help us to be walking that. Holy Spirit, empower us to walk in that ministry of reconciliation. That we may not be part of the problem, we be part of the solution. May we be ambassadors for righteousness. So we thank you for that, Father. We give you praise.